I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is Thursday, as the humans reckon their weeks, which means it is time for one of our most exciting evenings on the show. We get to join you, our fellow conspiracy realist, and share your stories with everyone else. We're going to get some insights from our friends down under. We're going to have some responses to an earlier question about local corruption. We're also going to have some letters from home and a look at an ongoing disappearance, which occurred quite recently. But before we do any of that, we talked about this off air. We thought we would start with the fun stuff because there is a letter that absolutely delighted all of us, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to get correspondence from our pals down under, especially when it comes to calling us on things that we perhaps didn't get quite right about their beautiful and dare I say, dangerous homeland. We know it's Melbourne. I think we've checked that one off the list. And then here's the thing. These are always good natured. They're always, if there's any ribbing, these Aussies, they tend to have a very good sense of humor. I really appreciate that about them. And this is no exception. We got quite a cavalcade of things to run through with this email from LJB. Starts like this. Hi, conspiracy team. Fascinated by your pod on the Bunyip and beyond. Thank you. And thanks also for shining a light on our amazingly beautiful and unique land, animals, and biomes for your listeners. You asked for opinions, comments, so here you go. JMHO. What is that one, guys?
Just my humble opinion.
Oh, jeez. So much cooler than me. It took me a while to even figure out what TLDR meant. JMHO. Outback Steakhouse. Sadly, even though I have made two brief visits to your land some years ago, I never had the opportunity to visit, so can't comment. Apologies. I think we posed the question of, A, are there Outback Steakhouses in Australia, to which we found there were a couple, and B, do they get it right? I would posit probably not. Crocodile Dundee. Although a popular comedian actor in his day, Paul Hogan's Crocodile Dundee is pretty cringeworthy. Agreed. His comedy was unsophisticated and left many of us in despair. I see. But at the end of the day, if people found it funny, why not be amused? That's that Aussie spirit. There are very awkward, Aussies. Yes, that SS says Z, but I don't know, ochre. Is it ochre or ochre? Ochre, the color, I'm going to go with ochre for now. Who would identify and potentially sound like him, IRL. So that must be sort of like a, I don't know, maybe it reminds me of kind of Louisiana French culture, like Bayou folks, you know, maybe that's sort of an equivalent, but I can't be sure. Foster's, it's apparently not Australian for beer. We do not drink Foster's ever. It has the rep as the worst ever brew. Guys, I have to take a quick pause here. Isn't it funny, though, how people often identify America with things like Bud Light? And we absolutely drink the hell out of Bud Light, at least as a country, you know, but then, you know, their individual results may vary. I wonder, though.
But it's a German beer, basically, right?
Well, sure. Fair enough. My point is, though, that it's gotten a reputation as being sort of this, like, the most basic of American beers. And it gets the reputation because it is incredibly popular. And there's a couple other ones you could add to that list. Foster's, however, being an Australian beer, I'm sure there are hundreds of other really good Australian beers. This is the one that just happens to hang their whole marketing on this overwrought Australian accent. And, like, you know, I don't get regular TV anymore, so I don't know what the commercials are like. But they really lean into that, and I'm sure that made folks in their country cringe, and also apparently the beer's not very good. Have you guys ever had a Foster's? I don't know if you've ever even had one. Do you like it?
Maybe I'm misremembering this, but I want to say Foster's for a time had like this fatter can or a bigger can thing.
It was supposed to look like a little barrel.
Yes. And
just like the earlier, or a small keg, right? A just so kawaii keg. And to follow up, ochre, I think means someone with a strong accent.
Yeah.
And the when we talked about Outback, there is one Outback. It's somewhere, forgive me, folks, it's somewhere like the Sydney airport, and people visit it as a novelty. I think with Foster's, the idea is that if you call something Australian, you can easily sell it to Americans.
Mm.
Maybe we should come out with something and call it the Australian t-shirt. Of stuff they don't want you to know.
Why not? Moving on to another person who could probably be accused of being an ochre, Steve Irwin. Kind of the real life Crocodile Dundee in some ways. Definitely had a similar accent. You know, wore the shorts, kind of the Ranger Smith outfit.
So cool.
Genuine passion for the Outback and all of its critters. And as we know, and I think we've all remarked upon, what a wild, I think biome is exactly the term to use. Just the stuff that exists there, it looks like oftentimes stuff you think of as being from another planet, that we just don't have any analog for a lot of their creatures over here. And Steve Irwin loved all of them. And in fact, unfortunately, I believe his life was ended by one of them. I believe he was stung
stingray.
In the heart by a stingray. Pretty wild.
Was it Cat Williams? Cat Williams has been in the news a lot recently, or at least on social media.
He took some shots at some folks.
I want to say it was him. He had a great bit about Steve Irwin, like with great respect to Steve Irwin, but that was the joke that he got taken out by a stingray. But like he's over there just literally tackling crocodiles like it's nothing.
I remember that, Matt. I also remember... So Steve Irwin occupies, for anybody not in the U.S., Steve Irwin occupies this amazing position in sort of the American pop culture pantheon. He's a real-life Captain Planet. He has the ability, like a D&D ranger, to speak with animals, Dungeons and Dragons, sorry. And I think his child is also following in his footsteps. He was brought down by a stingray, as we mentioned, but he did so much for environmental advocacy. Like he just seems like a really cool dude, a really good hang. And by the way, if you were into American hip hop, then you know that for a while, every MC was rapping about Steve Irwin, right? Irwin to a stingray, a lighter to an upset Jean Grey. Shout out to Joe Budden's song on that, Long Summer, I think, or Short Summer, and not a shout out to his podcast.
just to show up with what LJB said about Steve, very much mirroring what we all just fanboyed out big time. Again, quite broad and awkward-ish. Okay, there you go. But beloved for his love of and endless enthusiasm for our critters, particularly the dangerous ones, as we said, one that ultimately took his life. And I'm sure he wouldn't have had it any other way, but who am I to say? I guess I can't be sure. His efforts with, like you said, Ben, his efforts with environmental matters and wildlife conservation provided him with great respect and high regard. His loss is truly felt, but his legacy survives through his remaining family. Matt, did you have a Steve Irwin comment?
No, it's fine. I've said it on the show before. I don't have to. I think it was my 16th or 17th birthday party, just to give you a little insight on me. It was a combination Matrix Steve Irwin birthday party. You could dress as either or both. Okay, that's it.
That's amazing.
Next, we've got Steve Urkel for some reason. LJB is not even sure why we have Steve Urkel. Apologies, I'm not sure of the reference here, but yes, Family Matters was shown on free-to-air television.
I think I mentioned this. This is a reaction, correct me here. This is a reaction to the classic episode we published on cryptids of Australia. And I think as Way leads on the way conversationally, we mentioned Steve Irwin, which probably led to us mentioning Steve Urkel. Sorry, Australia.
Did we do that?
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
Nice.
Got any cheese? Turns out Jaleel White is a smoke show, by the way. You know, we knew that if we watched the show, because he had an alter ego version of the Steve Urkel character named Stefan. Yeah.
Check out the Key and Peele Family Matters sketch, by the way. Can't leave it unsaid.
So there's that mystery solved, hopefully. Next, we've got Prison Colony, talking about the history of Australia, no doubt. It would be more accurate to say a convict colony was established here, as convicted lawbreakers of even the most minor infractions, thanks to their dire poverty. That's a really good point. These probably were a lot of people that did not deserve to be sent there. It gets a reputation as being this like hive of scum and villainy and all of that. And there were probably a lot of innocent folks that were thrown into forced labor on this colony. So just throwing that out there. To their poverty, dire poverty, were transported from Britain and Ireland. And yes, many are the descendants of convicts and claim to be quite proud to be so. Many residents, I believe, is what they are referring to. Next, we've got Jungle. We don't have Jungle per se. I'm assuming they're talking about the popular 1990s dance music craze, Jungle. No? Anybody out there? Rimshot? It's the one that's like, let's go to drum and bass. Jungle was a subset of that. That is not what they're talking about. They're talking about literal jungle. They apparently don't have, per se, are heavily forested areas in the subtropics and tropics are termed rainforests. Similar, but not quite.
Unique biome.
And lastly, exactly. We've got two more quick ones and we'll, there's so many good ones. Koalas are not bears, just marsupials. Cute to look at, pretty dopey when sitting in their tree, sleepy on eucalyptus leaves. I'm assuming sleepy on eucalyptus leaves, meaning they're like high off the eucalyptus leaves. And sometimes can be stroppy. What is stroppy? Does that mean like built, like fit?
Strop bears.
Sassy, they get attitude. You know, if you ever want to bust the American myth about the koala, go to YouTube. Get thee to YouTube now and watch koalas fighting.
There you go.
Also, riddled with chlamydia.
Oh, boy, Jesus Christ. Just sucked the joy right out of koalas for us. Ben and LJB. Okay, so the internet says stroppy. I think you nailed it, Ben. Attitude, but specifically kind of grumpy tendencies, you know, like you said, fighting words. They are in dire need, of course, as we know, as habitat destruction, accidental deaths, thanks to humans and their pets' interactions, and diseases decimate their numbers. Finally, we're going to get to the Bunyip and the Yowie. We definitely have talked about these at various times in cryptid conversations. My belief is that these are animals of legend for the First Nations people and far from real. Although with more interesting fossilized bones being recovered, it may well be that in time past, there could be evidence of new unidentified creatures that provide a tiny glimpse of where the dreaming stories have been handed down from. The dreaming referring to the dream time of belief, sort of a kind of a afterlife parallel dimension of the Aborigines. It's actually really heavily featured in the Sandman series. Of course, Dream being Morpheus, the main character, the Lord of Dream, there's a really interesting storyline that involves Aborigines and the idea of dream time and the dreaming in that intersection. Pretty cool stuff. But I will say, though, with all of the crazy stuff, a shout out to a friend of the show, Peach, and we've become good internet friends, who lives in the deepest of bush in Australia, in the outback. And the critters that I see her rescuing from the street and dealing with coming into her house through the light fixtures and all kinds of stuff, always with the cheerful attitude. She loves these creatures so much. Some of the things that I've seen her photograph really defy imagination. So the idea that there could be an undiscovered critter in the outback is not beyond the realm of possibility in my mind. I don't know what you guys think, because some of those creatures that we definitely know exist, they're pretty bunyipy or yaoi-ish on their own, because they don't really look like anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah. LJB, first off, thank you so much for putting up with our American accents and for giving us these reactions. Like you said, Noel, there are some things that we sort of summarize here. Interesting stuff about cryptids, specifically the Tasmanian tiger, right? Which is one of the most likely cryptids to exist still, given the vast expanse of wilderness out there in Australia and in surrounding areas. Shout out Tasmania. The idea of the dreaming it's fascinating. It's worth its own episode, because it's a very different cultural framework for experiencing what we would call reality today. I love your point here, Noel, the idea that there may well be undiscovered large fauna of some sort in the outback, because this is one of the most likely places where such animals could be discovered. And we also know that due to the long, slow unwinding and shifting of Pangaea, the continent of Australia is home to an abundance of unique life forms that do not occur anywhere else on the planet, and therefore the universe as humans know it. Can't wait to go. Got some things in the works. So shout out to other Australian friends. Shout out to Patrice. Shout out to a fellow Ben down under. Hope to see you soon. I'll tell you, man, LJB, one of the wildest things you mentioned here is the Komodo dragon. Mm-hmm. So cool. So cool.
Yeah, one thing I think that came up maybe in a conversation that we've had about the Komodo dragon, I think there was sort of misreported that these things were venomous, that they had they could inject you with the poison. But I think what I had heard or read, and I can't remember exactly where, was that their mouths are just so filthy and disease kind of, and they're very germy, that if they bite you, you're just probably going to get infected from that. And mm-hmm. it could be a death sentence in mm-hmm. and of itself.
I mean, if you survive the bite, right, if you survive the first encounter.
Bring it on, Komodo dragons. It's like that Ghost Hunters guy.
Stop badgering the Komodo dragon, man.
I could PvP one. I'm confident.
Anywho, a couple other little things we couldn't get to from this amazing list, but we'll end with listening to you is endlessly fascinating as you delve into topics that aren't often discussed, frankly, and with humor. Thank you. Much appreciated. We much appreciate you, LJB. P.S. We don't say good day either.
Well, most good day part. To you.
And mm-hmm. Fine Sally Ho to you all. Kind regards. That was not LJB's sign off.
That was just us.
That was us. Kind regards. That's very proper. LJB. I like that we talked this through as I read it, instead of waiting till the end. There was no other way to do it. This was just like an absolute wealth of information and commentary from various episodes. So I don't know, man. I don't know. You guys have anything to add? I think we could probably pop to a break unless there's anything you got.
Last thing. Good day.
Good day to you, sir. I say good day, sir. You get nothing except this delightful commercial break from our sponsor. And then some more listener mail.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today. And we've returned, and we are going to the email banks to hear from Mysteria. Mysteria.
Mysteria.
Yes. Mysteria. I'm just going to read this first part, guys, and then there are links, and let's look at them together, and we'll just kind of be like, oh, well, what's inside this link?
Wait, are we still doing whisper sound
no,
effects?
No, it's gonna come up later, though.
Okay.
But for now,
y'all crazy. Y'all hear those voices? For real?
Okay, right. Mysteria says, hey, if you guys really want to do a deeper dive on local corruption, just look at Illinois. The entire state is a hot mess. And then there's a link. This is our first link in the series. It appears to be a Wikipedia link, the title of which is simply Corruption in Illinois. And guys, it's not a short Wikipedia page.
No, it's not. No.
Wow. So there's, okay, well, let's do an overview. There's a fairly large section for federal corruption. There's a smaller state corruption, like sub area, and for governors and state officials. Then it's got municipal corruption, and that's the largest section, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And a special shout out just to Alderman of Chicago. For anybody not in the U.S., Alderman is a member of city council. Basically, mm-hmm. with a fancier name. But Chicago has, for a very long time, been infamous in U.S. history as a textbook case of like a quintessential, hold this up to the class, example of widespread intergenerational corruption. And
oh, dude.
Nothing seems set to change.
Well, let's read a sentence here from a Wikipedia. Remember, this is a Wikipedia page. It can be edited by anyone that can edit Wikipedia. But, you know, for the most part, these things are policed pretty well internally, right? By just other people looking at it and changing it.
And aldermen.
And aldermen are always in there. But here's a sentence. It's like the third sentence at the top of the page. Illinois had the third most federal criminal convictions for public corruption between 1976 and 2012, behind New York and California. Uh-oh, those seem like the two biggest ones I would have guessed.
Watch out, guys. They're on your wake.
You know what I mean? Oh, man. For real. And the first sentence is, corruption in Illinois has been a problem from the earliest history of the state. And it goes all the way back to 1818.
And it quotes The Economist, too, which is not exactly a left-wing publication. Like, if The Economist is saying you're financially crooked, it might be time for some self-inventory.
Oh, yeah. Well, then let's jump to the next thing that Mysteria says. Mysteria says, the Rita Crundwell case is an especially wild ride. And then our second link appears. Oh, and this is to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Northern District of Illinois. Here's the title. Former Dixon Comptroller Rita Crundwell. Sentenced
you know, we got an alderman and a comptroller? Comptroller.
Finally. Beat me here, Doc. I fucking knew it. I knew knowing what a comptroller is would matter at some point.
We're going to get a parliamentarian in here somewhere. Go. Carry
it's,
on.
It's
man.
The numbers, gentlemen. Former Dixon comptroller Rita Crundwell sentenced to nearly 20 years in federal prison for $53.7 million theft from the city.
Can't be out trolling the comps, man.
Whoa, that's intense. This story is from... God,
that was, and that was so covert. It took me a second. That was on a delayed reaction to that. Very well done.
Very well done, Ben. By the way, this was posted on Valentine's Day 2013. Mm. You know who didn't have a great Valentine's Day? Rita Crundwell. Ooh, jeez Louise.
I thought you were going to save me. And I was like, all right, man, just... keep the kid gloves on. We're on the air.
I can barely remember last week. I have no idea what happened on. But
this is a huge case, right, Matt? Like this is, as you said, this is a multi-million dollar, more than two decades plus level of crime.
Yeah, and she pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering of more than $53 million from the city since 1990.
Wow.
Oh, dude. She used the proceeds to finance her quarter horse farming business.
I'm sorry. You mean like little horses?
No, just 25% of a horse.
It's like quarter scale horse. No, quarter horses are those little fellas.
They're a real thing.
Those little fellas.
But she was farming them. So I guess just breeding. Maybe call it a horse farm.
It's a thing. It's a bit odd.
Yeah. I don't think they're tiny though. I think it's a name for a horse that's really, I sound stupid, I'm not an equestrian or equestrian.
Yeah, you're right, they're not tiny.
They're very fast.
Why do I think that they're tiny? No,
they're sprinters.
Yeah, you're right. I you know what, I learned something new today, because in my head quarter horses were always like the little baby horses that never grow up, like little ponies? Sebastian on Parks and Rec.
Never forget, Sebastian? Man. Never forget. Yeah,
never forget. That's the reason
we do
this
show. He's an angel now.
Yeah, his little Sebastian. The stuff little Sebastian doesn't want you to know.
Why the quarter horse is built for speed. You nailed it, Ben. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It sounds like the long arm of the law nailed our friend Crundwell. And this is... Chicago is, again, a place with some problems. It is one of the most American of American cities. But Matt.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I see from the press release that got shared with us that this is one of the largest thefts or the largest theft of state funding.
I believe the judge said it was the largest theft in state history. And as we've learned, corruption in Illinois runs rampant and long.
I was about to say, I mean, Chicago is a notoriously corrupt city. And that's where the like political boss kind of systems, you know, came up. It's pretty gnarly.
By the way, it's the city involved, right? So she's a city comptroller. It was public funds stolen from the city of Dixon, D-I-X-O-N. So she's having to pay back the city of Dixon that only has a population less than 16,000 people, about 100 miles southwest of Chicago.
Guys, I don't know if you've thought about this, but given how much tax we all pay, and I know I've griped about this many times, and I like show me the money, show me what you're doing with it, whether it be local or federal. I just think fraud like this happens a lot more than we think. I really do. I think somebody's pocketing my check. I really, truly, because I don't see any benefit from it. And maybe that's naive to say just because I'm not seeing it directly that somebody's stealing it. But I just do not have confidence in state or federal government to – now I'm sounding like I want to start my own – secede from the union or something.
Well, but think about this, Noel. These are local taxes, so like city taxes. So that's –
I'm saying with Atlanta, you know, we don't pay as much city as we do federal, but our streets are riddled with potholes, dangerous stuff, you know?
Well, see, no, this is weird. I've never paid city taxes, like a local tax like that. I guess I'm thinking of a state tax. It's always state and federal.
Sure.
In this case, it's like sales tax, right? Stuff bought in the city and other things like that. When you stay at a hotel, right, you've got like different taxes that are levied depending on the city you're in. I don't know. So, but that seems like a lot of money in a local city taxes that only has 16,000 people.
Yeah. A lot of money laundering too. Mm-hmm. And money laundering, it looks like money laundering is one of those things that used to be a good living back in the day, but it's increasingly difficult to clean the money, right? So, if anything, one of the questions that I have for you, Matt, is could she have gotten away with it if she just cut and run like 10 years in, 12 years in? Could she have just retired, you know, have the fanfare or whatever is appropriate for a comptroller when they're out of the game and then just move to a non-extradition country? Because, you know, the IRS is not going to chase you.
To Panama?
They're not going to chase you if your white collar crimes are below a certain threshold such that it would cost them more to come hunt you.
Well, maybe we should read a little bit more of this. I know we kind of got stuck, Mysteria, on this one. You've sent us so many other links, mm-hmm. but I think this is really interesting to me. Let's continue reading here from the justice.gov link here. It says, so she started this scheme in 1990. She opened a secret bank account, which she was the only one that could access it, right? But she's also got control of all the city's funds. The name of the account was RSCDA Reserve Fund, or the RSCDA account. The initials stood for Reserve Sewer Capital Development Account, although no such account actually existed for the city, and she did not disclose the existence of the secret account. So I guess she just... Oh, it says Crundwell stole at least $25,000 from a separate Dixon bank account for its sister city program between 88 and 90 before she started this big plan. Ooh. So she stole $25,000. She got away with it. And she was like, we need a reserve fund.
She needed more. Yeah. That's what got her, right?
It reminds me of True Detective Season 2. A lot of that mm-hmm. with like mm-hmm. the secret funding and going to other things, right?
Yeah, that was the boring season.
Hey, there was some cool stuff in there too. Vince Vaughn, let's go.
He was fine.
The mask.
The crow mask was very cool, but right. Overall I thought it was a dud. You guys watched the new episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm into it.
Promising.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's weird how the internet hates women.
Dude, Jay Foster coming in.
The criticism killing him, man.
I think it's great. I think people are, you know, well, that Nick Pizzolatto fellow has always been a bit of a man's man. So I think a lot of his fans are those types. So maybe they're mad that he's not involved. But I'm excited about it.
It's cool. 6 episodes contained. Love it. Loving
it. It was all to be an anthology series. Anyway, really quickly, guys, small horses, they're just called miniature horses, just for the record. Oh. Please carry on.
Miniature. Not to be confused with ponies.
No. Different.
So a quarter horse is actually a quarter of a horse.
Just the back and the left.
What's like that artist?
That Bruder film.
The bisect into the left. Animals.
That's a quarter.
Damien Hirst. Yeah, it's like one of those pieces.
Also, Matt, there's something really interesting that we see here in Mysteria's letter, which is the small town corruption. Right? Can we mention what is it? The townships. Is a township like a county?
I think that's right. Yeah. They have them in like, you know, Jersey? New York State and Massachusetts. There's a lot of, it's sort of an old New England-y thing-ish kind of, I think.
Yes. And this is our third link. Thank you so much, Mysteria. And this appears to be your home county, Mysteria.
Yeah. The McHenry County State's Attorney Office back in 2018 started investigating several townships. So townships must just be communities within a county for, again, illegally using taxpayer money. And apparently this is, these are only two of like at least three places, three townships in this one county that are super crooked. I don't know, man. When we say it's cold up in Illinois, it feels like it's cold on a number of levels because you have to be pretty ruthless to be elected to public office and just violate trust like that, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the actual corruption here is or like what's being investigated. Mm. It looks like, let me read this. Nunda Township also hired two of Miller's sons, who's somebody who's working directly with the township, to full-time positions, adding to its highway department's more than $2 million payroll with hundreds of thousands more in pensions and other benefits.
So this looks like nepotism, maybe, and padding the books, kind of like when organized crime will come into a construction project.
We talked about that. I mean, everything I learned about organized crime, I learned from the Godfather movies and the Sopranos. But in the Sopranos, they're always working on this esplanade that's never finished. This never gets finished. And they're doing, they call them like no-show jobs where you get paid. You don't have to come. That's like, you know, that's like a way you can kind of grease some palms. Right? I'm going to give you like five no-show jobs this month. And then also like by itemizing things that were never actually purchased and you know, billing for them and things like that. Good way to hide money.
Guys, according to illinoispolicy.org, which is where this link took us, there's also a major problem with like voter intimidation when there's a referendum coming up to change, the ways of the local government. And it looks like it's happening in a lot of townships there. Oy. Well, let's just mention the other things that are in here. We won't go over the links. So last couple things you mentioned here, Mysteria, you said, finally, this is probably more a case of incompetence than corruption, but check out the police department's handling of the Ritter murder back in 1988. So I don't know anything about the Ritter murder. You've got a link to us here to the Chicago Tribune about a man named Richard Church, who was wanted for the 1988 murders of Raymond Ritter and his wife, Ruth Ann. We're not going to talk about it in detail at all right now, but if you want to look it up, you can. We're going to check it out for, you know, the potentiality of a longer episode. I like that word. It's not a word. But then...
It's a word.
Oh, it is. I didn't think it was. Okay. You said other things here, told us more about that murder, but we're going to hold it for later. So thank you so much, Mysteria, letting us know about just how bad Illinois could potentially be. But we're not passing judgment because state corruption exists everywhere, not just in the U.S., not just in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. It's deeper than the pizza.
Right? It's, I was going to do deeper than hip hop thing, but I can't. So, all right.
Yeah, you can. It's bigger than hip hop.
It is, but it's also deeper. So thank you so much, Mysteria, for writing in. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
And we have returned for one more piece of listener mail and something we like to call letters from home. This final piece of correspondence comes to us from someone we're going to call CJ because we did not get full permission to use their name. This is kind of the beginning of a rabbit hole. CJ sends us a message about someone named Donna I and says the timeline and events leading up to this poor woman's disappearance aren't lining up. You all should look into it and do an episode. I agree, CJ. This is also an unfolding event. If you choose to do so, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. If you don't trust links, I understand, says CJ and sends us a couple of different links here and tells us a little bit about the case. Her name, says CJ, was Donna I, E-Y-E. This happened very recently in Washington County, Missouri. I saw her name because she was dumped off in the middle of Mark Twain National Forest in the middle of the night by a police officer in sub-freezing temperatures with no phone and has not been heard from since. This is the first I have heard of this story. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard of it either. Let's see. I'm following the link now.
Yeah, according to this is happening now. There was a story posted on Fox 2 Now, Missouri affiliate, just yesterday, as we record on January 16th, and it seems that a Washington County sheriff named Zach Jacobson had activated something called the Mineral Area Major Case Squad to investigate what happened with this disappearance. A deputy allegedly dropped Donna I off around 11 p.m. in the middle of nowhere. Look up the Mark Twain National Forest. It is not like a pedestrian walking space. And she has not been seen since.
Yeah, and there's a quote from her brother, I believe, just speaking to her mental state at the time, saying that she wasn't in any condition to make a decision for herself. They informed me while we were standing right where we are right now. She had been picked up at the hospital by a Washington County female sheriff's deputy.
Mm-hmm. And according to the reporting that we have seen, we have a rough timeline of events. Donna I, at the age of 44 years old, is a mother. When she went missing, she left a hospital against her family's wishes on Monday, the 8th of January. According to the family, she has a medical condition that can affect her mobility and mental health. They were informed by the sheriff's deputy that she had been picked up from the hospital by the sheriff. Apparently, she was dropped off in the middle of the forest. Apparently, it's because they thought they were dropping her off at the correct place. But there's so many questions going on here. Even as we're recording right now, Donna I's daughter-in-law, Leanne Miller, has organized a civilian search party to try to find this missing person. And this reminds me of the conversations we've had over a series of years about one of the strangest, most egregious things in the U.S., which is that we have a lot of national parks. We have a lot of wilderness. And as we record, there is no government agency that keeps track of how many people go missing in parks each year. Shout out to Missing 411, right?
I'm a little confused. Was she discharged from the hospital after, was this like a psychiatric hospital, or was this just like she was injured and she was discharged? And what led to the police being her only ride?
It's still unclear. We know that the family wanted her to stay under care. We don't know each of the steps that led to this disappearance yet, which is why we're putting this out here now. Hopefully, by the time this listener mail hits the airwaves, hopefully we'll be able to update with some sort of good news. Hopefully she has been found, but it's stunning just how easy it is to disappear in the U.S.
Did you mention the bag that they found?
Yeah, tell us about that. That's one of the primary clues, or at least breadcrumbs.
Oh, only to say that they did find it close to her brother's house. So You got to wonder, like, did they drop her off so far that she had to, like, trudge her way back? But if she did, why was the bag there and she didn't? Like, you would think if she was dropped off in this remote middle of nowhere that she would just have been lost. But the connection with a piece of personal property of hers to be so close to where she was trying to get to, that's really interesting and head-scratchy.
Yeah, especially considering how brutal winter storms have been across the U.S. right now. You can make an argument that there is no way to drop someone off in the wild and reasonably expect that they will be able to survive. I saw some scuttlebutt, some comments on various news forums, and one commenter on the St. Louis Reddit implies, this is just a person on the internet, implies that this drop-off was on purpose, meaning that whomever dropped her off there meant for something bad to happen to her, assumed that she would not survive the incredibly dangerous weather. Now, again, we can't say any of that with any sort of certitude. But of course, in the absence of transparency, speculation only thrives.
Totally. Yeah, no, there's something, what's the word? Something is rotten and so wherever this is. Yeah, no, there's definitely seems to be some details that are missing. And of course, our hope is with this individual being found unscathed, and perhaps there'll be an update soon.
And CJ, we're keeping this short because, again, hopefully we can return with good news. We also, at least I want to give everybody again the notice that misinformation and speculation thrives so easily on weaponized social media. If you do have any knowledge of Donna I's whereabouts, please do, as Fox News mentions, please do contact the authorities, call 911. If you know of anybody who's gone missing in a national park, the scary thing about the United States is the onus is on you. It's on us as members of the public to report this stuff, because otherwise people can simply go missing. So hopefully, again, we'll come back. We'll come back with updates. As I said at the top, this is a live story. I think it'd be great for us to end today's show with a little bit of a positive note while we're waiting to hear the news on Donna I. We have, I love doing this letters from home thing. I shared a thing recently from our pals over on Here's Where It Gets Crazy, from a graphic novel artist named Ryan Van Osdahl, or Osdahl. Apologies, sir, if we're mispronouncing your name. Ryan put us in his graphic novel, and it was so kind. It was so neat. We have a couple panels of it. Noel, do you want to describe those panels?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's just like a, I guess it's sort of like a D&D party type situation where the three of us are, I believe, halflings that are on a wilderness journey of some kind. And maybe you'd be better at describing the content of the conversation, but we were all personified delightfully.
Mm-hmm. Nolan, the most talented weaponsmith in the Seven Valleys. Matthias, proprietor of the best inn on the Western continent. And then they just call me Benjamin, and I'm a halfling. Say some catchphrases at some point. Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of Lord of the Rings meets Lone Gunman. And we're just very grateful, again, every time, folks, that you see fit to include us in your stories, your creative acts. We receive a lot of amazing music inspired by episodes. And I'm not blowing smoke. A lot of it's really good, like super impressive. So we just wanted to shout this out. I reached out to the author of this graphic novel, and hopefully we'll be returning with some information about how we can support this independent artist. We love to see it. We'd also love to hear from you with any other creative works that were in some way inspired by this show, or maybe this is what you listen to while you're painting, while you're working on other things. We have your back. And it turns out that a lot of our fellow conspiracy realists had our back when we asked folks to check out our sketch comedy on Instagram.
Yeah, you can call it that. I guess you can. Yeah, we did it. It was fun. Goofy, silly year in predictions, or not year in predictions, predictions for the new year of conspiracies that will definitely come to fruition, come to pass, or be exposed. So do check that out. You can, you can do that. You can be part of this, fellow conspiracy realists.
Yeah. Be the sketch comedy change you wish to see in the world. I'm pretty sure a famous person said that. Edward James Olmos, probably. Let's end this way. We're going to give a really quick cavalcade of names of people who chimed in on our Mandela Effect video and said, hey, strange news brought me here. So before we end the show, let's give you that list of names. Here we go. Shout out to Jamie, Kristen Howard, Dan Bush 101, Rocket Queen 68, Classic Chaos Events, Sailor Bright, Beef Unit, Economic, Ziggy Less, VM Sprang, who says the overacting is superb. Prince of Echo Park, C Bull 009, Elisa in her 30s, Romy the Queen, Odenfell Hammer, Vivek Rose, Vivek C. Rose, Saturday Morning Cartoons, Penny Takes Pictures, JFont 582, Seamus Campbell, Heimke, Johnny on the Rocks, Holly Quinn 77, Refreshing Art Studio, Dreezy Blaze, Joe's Misc, No One in Particular, that's a nice pun, Colin Ray 96, Style Masters, Bless Dem Fingers, Jero Space D, Dr. Rusty Shack, Colin Ray 96, Foreshore Pizza, Chris Sweeney 18488, C. Bob 10, Shadow the Maximum, Cranberry 420, 603D, Cammy Cat, and Noel. There are many, many others. But that's a long list of names, and we promised to thank you for doing so. But we appreciate it. We love the comments. We've got more videos on the way. We would love to offer you a meme in these trying times. And Noel, I have to ask, since our pal Matt had to scoot for some martial arts related adventures, what are some things you're excited about with our social media, and where can people check it out?
Oh boy, I'm glad you asked, Ben. I'm definitely excited about doing more silly, goofy videos in the coming year. You can find those on the internet, specifically on our YouTube channel, where they appear often as YouTube shorts. You can also find us on Facebook, where we have a Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, which I believe is where you might have been able to experience the comic that we described firsthand. Isn't that right? Was that posted there, or was that sent to you directly?
Yes, that's correct.
There you go. So you can be a part of that, too. And also the redheaded stepchild of the bunch, X, FKA Twitter. We are Conspiracy Stuff on all three of those, on Instagram and TikTok, where you'll also find some content. We are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
And if you don't sip the social meds, if your dry January means no social media, we have your back. You can call us directly on a telephonic device of your choosing. All you have to do is cast the following spell. Look at the numbers. Hit 1-833-STDWYTK. You will summon 3 minutes into the void. And be careful, folks. Sometimes the void answers back. All we ask that you do, tell us what's on your mind. Give yourself a cool nickname. Let us know if we can use your name and or message on the air. Most importantly, do not censor yourself. If you have more to say than will fit in 3 minutes, if you have links, if you have leads, if you have photos, if you have sounds that you want to convey to us directly, drop us a line. We read every single email we get at our good old-fashioned address where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.